There has been a lot of, you could say, toxicity in our country. So much division, so much difficulty, so much what if. And I've been reading some books about the soul at the same time that all of this has been going on. The soul is an interesting concept, isn't it? It's not just that you have a soul, but you are a soul. Have you ever thought about it like that? And that's why we talk about the physical battle in our world being not all that there is, that we're transitioning right now from our series, pointing out the battle for our soul, the very real battle that we have with our very real enemy, transitioning from that to talking about just what exactly is that soul that we are battling for? How do we take care of it? How do we tend to it? When God created the very first human being, Adam, this is how it was described in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Scripture says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Why does this matter? Well, let me explain it like this. When I was growing up, my dad smoked in the house where we lived at the time, and it seemed everybody back then was smoking cigarettes if they were of legal age. And when I was a youth pastor, I actually had a teen who came up and asked, "Will smoking send you to hell?" The answer is, no, it won't. It's just going to probably make you smell like you've already been there, though, right? And so as a kid, I never really realized at the time, but I smelled like smoke all the time because I lived in a home where somebody was smoking. And so it hit me after my dad moved out when I was about 8 or 9 years old. My mom never smoked. And so living primarily with my mom now, over time, the smoke smell went away. But it was so gradual, I didn't realize it, right? And so I realized, though, later on how drastic of a change that actually was when I went to visit my dad at his new place for the very first time, and I came into my dad's house. I'm like, "Dad, your house reeks. It smells so bad in here." And within a short amount of time, I got used to it and didn't notice it. Forgot all about that whole deal. Well, then, after the weekend was over, and I go back to my mom's house, my brother, who wasn't with me at my dad's, he goes, "Sean, you smell so bad right now. You smell terrible. You got to go burn those clothes and hop in the shower right now." And I smelled my clothes, and I was just like, "Oh, man, that is nasty," right? And my bag and everything, it was awful. And it dawned on me, oh, my goodness, I used to smell like this all the time, and I wondered why kids in my class never wanted to be around me. I just thought it was because I smelled bad, right? I had no idea that I was breathing in this poison, this secondhand smoke, and it was affecting me, and I didn't even realize it. And I believe that many of us in our souls today, we are breathing in so much secondhand poison of our culture, that this is literally impacting our souls in ways that we don't always realize it. We are in many ways in need of a soul detox, so to speak. And you hear a lot these days about detoxing our bodies, right? And taking care of our bodies. What I want to do is I want to talk about what it looks like to detox our soul, for caring about the very core of who we actually are. Some of the sources where I got some ideas for this and how this sort of landed on my heart is I was reading a couple of books. One book Pastor Judah Smith wrote, it's called How's Your Soul? And it's a very humorous approach to this topic. Another one, Pastor Craig Groeschel wrote a book called Soul Detox. And I just want to be upfront and say that the inspiration of what we're going to be talking about came largely from those two books. And so I just want to give credit where credit is due. But today, though, I want to talk about how so many of us are so restless right? Just in the last few weeks, we've talked about how so many people in the church and in the community and in our state and in our country who are just feeling a number of different things. I think the root of this being restlessness. Now, it comes from different places, but if you know the story in Genesis about Cain and Abel, these were two brothers, and Cain gets very, very jealous of Abel, and he kills his brother, and God actually puts this curse on him. In Genesis 4, starting with verse 11, it says, "So now you are cursed," this is God speaking, "alienated from the ground that opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood you have shed." It's like, okay, you killed your brother, and here's the punishment. Verse 12, "If you work the ground, it will never again give you its yield. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." A restless wanderer. So many of us, we have a restless soul. We're constantly searching, but it often feels like we can't actually find. And we are interested in everything, it seems like, but we get satisfied by, well, nothing. Inwardly, we're just always wound up, right? And our RPMs are just, they just keep going up. We're trying to find rest for our bodies, but we never really find rest for our soul. Have you ever thought about it like that? We're anxious all the time, it seems. We're tense, we're worried, we're concerned. Our minds just don't seem to know how to shut down ever. And it just seems like when we try to rest at nighttime, internally, our soul has a difficult time resting. It's a restless soul. And in this particular season, it's been busier in some ways, and it's been less busy in other ways, but the restlessness of the soul has been so crazy for so many of us. And inwardly, it would be so easy to be overwhelmed with all that's going on and all that there is to do. And for me, for so much of my life where I've lived, it's been that restlessness of my soul. And Solomon's words in Ecclesiastes really paint a good picture of where I've spent a chunk of my life, way too much of my life. And chances are, this is where many of you have also been or maybe are currently living right now. Solomon said this, and I think it's really interesting. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, starting with verse 22, it says, "For what does a person get with all his work and all his efforts that he labors at under the sun? For all his days are filled with grief, and his occupation is sorrowful. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This, too, is futile." He asks the question, what does a person even get? I want to pause for a moment, though, there and just ask, let's just be really, really honest today, okay? How many of you would say that you're often wound up on the inside? You find it difficult to calm down in your soul. Sometimes at night, it's like you have a hard time falling asleep because your mind just keeps going and going and going. And maybe it's with family things, you just can't shut down your mind, and your soul rarely, if ever, seems to find deep rest. How many of you would say, yeah, that's me? Be really, really honest. The restless soul. And can I just say, God has a better way for us to live. He does. We're all going to acknowledge that our body needs rest, right? You can't get to the end of a day without realizing, like, I'm wore down. Like, I need to recharge. I need to go to sleep and wake back up in the morning. However it is, I submit to you, though, that our soul needs to find rest as well. That raises the question, though, how do we find that? Where do we go? Where do we find rest for our souls? Where do we find it from? And what I'm going to tell you sounds like maybe a preacher Sunday school answer. But what I want you to know is that this is true through and through, okay? True beyond the shadow of a doubt. There is one place and one place only where we truly find that rest for our souls, and that is in God. Write this down. Our soul can find rest only in God. Our soul can find rest, real rest, only in God. David said it this way in Psalm 62. He says, I am at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. My soul, inwardly, internally, who I am, at the core of my very being, only finds rest in God. In other words, there's no person, there is no thing. There is no experience, there's no vacation. There's no dream home, there's no amount of money, there is no thing outside of God that can bring true rest to the core of who I am. My soul finds rest, David says, in him alone. In fact, I love the way St. Augustine said it. He said to God, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our soul is restless until it finds rest in you. In fact, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29. He said, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and what will I give you? I will give you rest. Okay, think about this. This is some of us here today listening to this. Not just in your body, but in your soul. You're stressed out. You find it difficult to show love to those you love the most because you're short with those that you love the most because your soul might just be so worked up, just so overwhelmed. You're tense and you're worried and you're finding yourself anxious, not only physically, but where it really, really matters is in your soul, the core of your very being. Come to me. Jesus says, all who are weary and burdened, you will find rest for your soul. Where do we find true rest? The answer is in God alone. The next question that I would be asking is, okay, where do we find that? If true rest is found in God alone, how does our soul find that rest in God? How does our soul find rest in God? And here's what Scripture teaches us. We're going to look at three different things that Scripture says. And what I want you to do, I'm giving you a lot of Scripture today because I'm praying that Scripture will land in your soul and that you'll be convicted to live according to the rhythms of the grace of God, not according to the pressures and the secondhand toxic smoke of this world that says, go, 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 right? Produce, produce, produce. Do more, 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 more. But when we find rest for our soul and we seek him first, then he's going to add everything that truly matters. If you're rested in your soul, I promise you, you're going to be far more productive, truly productive. Yet we get it wrong with the toxic lies of this world. And so three thoughts. How do we find rest in God? First thing that Scripture teaches us to do. Number one, we allow ourselves to be still before God. We allow ourselves to be still before God. Psalm 46, verse 10. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. Now, let me just go ahead and state the obvious that's here. But I just want to say it. Notice the psalmist doesn't say, stay busy and know that I am God. Right? Be productive, produce, and know that I am God. Be worried and know that I am God. Be anxious and know that I am God. Be all wound up on the inside and know that I am God. No, Scripture says, be still. Stop. Pause. And know that I am God. Know. Not just like you know in your head, but you know in your soul that God is on the throne. Be still and know that I am God, is what he says. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you have ever been around a kid that just can't stay still? Just can't. Just can't stay still. How many of you have ever been around a kid like that? A child can't stay still, just going, 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 constantly moving. Some of you are saying, you know what, I married that kid. Like, he's an adult kid. He still won't stay still. Can I just say, my six-year-old Jackson right now is that kid. I mean, like, he has his moments sometimes, but, like, right now, it has been crazy. Like, when Marta and I, a few weeks back, got the coronavirus, we were told we had to isolate for 10 days from when our symptoms had started. Our kids, on the other hand, like, they had to isolate for 24 days. 24 days for Jackson, our six-year-old son, not around his classmates, not actually sick. Like, this kid was going crazy being in the house all the time. Like, talk about an inability to stay still. I mean, the kid entertained himself like nobody's business and in many ways kept us entertained, but he was just bouncing off the walls all the time, not able to be still at all. Sometimes you have to take control of your soul and just silence your soul. You say, soul, be still. Soul, slow down. Quit running. Sit down and be still. Look what Scripture says. David says this in Psalm 131, verse 2. He says, instead, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. My soul is like a weaned child. He's saying, I did it. I stilled my soul, calm down and be still. I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. I've stilled and quieted my soul. I have done what needs to be done here. A few years back, I got really thinking about our role in this, like David is saying here. And I was talking to an older pastor. This was early, early on in my ministry. And I was asking him all sorts of questions. Anybody that I've looked up to like that, I want to know how they've done it, how they've gotten to where they've gotten. And he was a pastor who'd been in ministry for 60 years, okay? Long time. His marriage just had been solid the whole time. His kids had grown up. One went into ministry. One started a nonprofit construction company. And I was just like, how did you do this? And he goes, Sean, this is going to sound too easy, but it's one of the hardest things to discipline ourselves into. And I was just like, let me have it. I got to know. I got to do this. I got to get going on it now while I'm young, right? And he goes, you need to take 5 minutes a day and just still yourself before God. Focus on God and nothing else for just 5 minutes every single day. Sounds too easy, but you've got to do this. And I'm thinking, come on. First of all, ain't nobody got time for that, right? Second of all, that's like easy. Like, there's got to be something. You're talking 60 years of ministry, a successful marriage, kids who are like doing ministry things, right? Like, there's got to be more to it than this. There's got to be like disciplines and big things and habits you've formed and all this sort of thing. Third, you're going to tell me all your success is attributed to that 5 minutes a day just being still before God. Really, guy? Give me something good. And he said, you go and you be still before God. Make sure you don't think about anything productive. You just focus on God. And so the next day I tried it. I got my little timer out on my app on my phone. And I'm like, God, I don't know if this is working or gonna work. I don't know if I'm doing this right, but God, why do I have to do this anyways? I mean, the trash needs to be taken out and I gotta change the oil in the car. Bottom line is I couldn't do it, at least at that time. I couldn't do it. I could not for 5 minutes be focused on God and nothing else. I couldn't do it. Now, if you are restless in your soul, one of the most important disciplines that you can do is to daily be still before God for the sole purpose of knowing Him and nothing else. He says, be still and know that I am God. 5 minutes. We start there. And yeah, for some of us, it's probably going to be more difficult than you think, because you're going to start and you're going to think, you're going to get going. You're like, okay, I'm focusing on God. The laundry needs to be done. The car needs to be washed. We've got grocery shopping to do. There's a project at work that's coming up. Somebody's probably posting something really, really important on Facebook right now. I've got to check that out, right? That can't wait for 5 minutes from now. 5 minutes. Be still and know that I am God. And you may say, but I don't have 5 minutes to just sit and do nothing and be still before God. I would argue you cannot afford to not take 5 minutes and be still with God. You don't have time not to. Second thing Scripture teaches us to do when we're being still is to wait upon God. To wait upon God. Scripture says this in Psalm 37, verse 7. Again, tons of scripture today, but it's going to make sense. Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still, or be silent before the Lord, and what? Somebody help me out. And wait expectantly for him. You don't even like waiting for me to talk, do you? You don't like waiting for me to say something. You're like, what is taking so long? Get moving, get going, keep it coming, Pastor. Like, we are such an instant gratification society, aren't we? Like, look at the struggle of this past week. Can I say that? I mean, just a disclaimer at the recording, the time of the recording of this message, it's currently Wednesday afternoon, okay? So I'm not even going to get into that fully, all the stuff of this week. But maybe for you, you're like me, okay? My prayer tendency is to be like the J.G. Wentworth commercial, like, it's my money and I want it now, right? It's like, God, will you give me patience and give it to me right now? Now, right? How many of you are like that? That's my hands up for a reason. That's been my prayer. You know, it's like I don't want to wait for anything, right? But we've got to be still. We've got to wait upon the Lord. We've got to open up God's word and wait for him. People say all the time, how do I hear from God? I don't know what God is saying. Well, we got to wait for him. And we've got to stop. We've got to open up enough space for him to communicate to us. Pastor Andy Stanley was asked one time, Andy, how do you stay really close to God? If you don't know who Andy Stanley is, he planted a church in Georgia, fast growing church, led thousands of people to Christ. And I love what he said. He said, I wake up early every day so I don't have to worry about the time. And I just open up God's word, and I start to read his word, and I wait for something to speak to me. And then when it speaks to me, I just stop, and I meditate on what God said. He said, sometimes it might be one verse. I just read one verse, and then I'm done, and that's it. Sometimes it's a chapter. Sometimes it might be five chapters. But I keep reading, and I wait until God speaks to me, and then I just let his word be planted deep within my soul. I love that. Wait on God. Seek him. Be still. Slow down. And be still. God will take care of the rest of the world while you take 5 minutes and be still before him and wait on God. Scripture says this in Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6. It says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I hope. And he says it again. What does he say? My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. He repeats that again. More than watchmen for the morning. Why does he emphasize this? He was really speaking to the people of this time. How does a watchman wait for the morning? Like, why would that be worth repeating? He's comparing his waiting for the Lord in eager anticipation of what the Lord is going to do, like a watchman waits for the morning. In the Old Testament, what you would have in the times of the Old Testament is you would have walls around the perimeter of the city, and the watchmen would stand on top of that wall around the city, and they would watch for potential approaching armies and enemies, and they would know that when the morning comes, the sun is going to come up, and then their shift is going to be done. They don't have to watch anymore because the sun's coming up and everybody else can see, right? That same divine expectation is that just as the morning is going to come, we know that. It's going to come. It's inevitable. It's going to come. In that same way, we watch in eager expectation for God to show up. We wait on God with that same kind of expectation. Just as the morning sun we know is going to come up, our God is going to show up. Amen? And we wait for the Lord as the watchman waits for the morning. We're waiting on the Lord and being still. Number three, we reflect on all the ways he's been good. We reflect, we look back on our lives, and we reflect on all the ways that God has been faithful. We sang that song this morning. All my life, you've been faithful. All my life, you've been so, so good. And here's how it goes so often. Like if we're being still, if we're waiting upon God, we're so often tempted to think about all that still needs to be done. What we need to train ourselves to do in those moments is to take a moment and think about all the things that God has already done. All the things he's already accomplished on our behalf. Don't just think about what has yet to be done. That can consume us all day long. We think about what God has already done. And we internalize his goodness. One more psalm for today. Psalm 116. Starting with verse 7. It says, "Return to your rest, my soul." Why? "For the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, rescued me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." See, this season, for me, I needed to still my soul. It was very obvious to me. I need to wait upon the Lord. I need to purposefully and intentionally stop, make time, and quiet my soul to sit down and truly be still. I need to wait on the Lord. I need to reflect on all that he's done, all the ways that all my life he has been faithful. I remember the prayers that God has answered throughout my life. I think upon his faithfulness. I remember that he has delivered my soul from what could have been, right? We serve a God who is so big that he is working in and through all things to bring about good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He says that you will be blessed coming in and you will be blessed going out. He is the one that declares. He tells us, "For I have the plans. I know the plans I have for you. Plans for you to prosper and to bless you and not to harm you, but to give you hope and to give you a future." And when we meditate on him, when we're worried about tomorrow, suddenly we realize he's already in tomorrow. He's already there. And because he was faithful yesterday, we can take courage that he will be faithful tomorrow, for he already knows what's going to happen anyways. The good, the bad, it doesn't mean that he planned for the bad to happen, but it means that he can still use it to bring about his glory. He's going to be faithful tomorrow, and your soul can be at rest as you reflect on God. I want you to know that God does not want for us to be all wound up all the time on the inside. And by the help and the power and the presence of God, I now know that you can live a productive and fruitful and yes, even busy life and yet be rested in your soul, healthy in your soul, healed in your soul, whole in your soul, living out of your soul the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Because we're not driven by the desires and the needs of the flesh, of our body, but and we're not worried about what's going on in our world and what's going on in our country and what's coming up in the near future, but we believe that God is truly bigger than all of that, and our soul is full of the goodness of God because we've tasted and we've seen and we've been still and we've been spending that time in eager anticipation and expectation of what He's going to do. I believe our spiritual enemy, Satan, if he can't make us more evil, he's going to make us more preoccupied. If he can't make us more evil, he's going to fill up that to-do list. He's going to make us more preoccupied. Some of our souls are just busy. Busy, busy, busy. My challenge is to find that rest today. Be at rest. Be at rest, oh my soul. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Reflect on His goodness. Be still, oh my soul, and know that He is God. The band is going to sing one more song that we already sang this morning. But before that, what I want to do is, in the next few moments, I want to give you a moment, even right now, to carve out some time for you to just be still. Because I know in this culture of secondhand toxicity, busyness, many of us, we don't even know how to do so. And so what I want you to do is I want you to just get comfortable right now. Just spend a few moments calming your soul, talking to God. But even more than talking to God, listening to God. The only place that you're going to find rest, true rest, is in God alone. So take a moment, be still, and know that He is God.
Never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Life, You have been faithful. All my life, You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love Your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, You are close like no other. I've known You as a father. I've known You as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing in the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down and surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am in, I will sing in the goodness of God. I will sing in the goodness of God.
Father, I know so many of us are feeling weary, feeling overwhelmed, wound up. The RPMs of our soul are just maybe feeling higher than they've ever felt. And God, we sit before you in a moment of humility, reminding ourselves that you are God, we are not, and that our role is to trust you, to be still, to know that you are God, to wait patiently for you, to wait in anticipation of the ways that you're going to speak to us. And God, I pray that we would enter into a spiritual rest on this earth that points to you being our true source. God, that there's a peace that we recognize that goes beyond our human ability to even understand, that guards our hearts and our minds and our souls in Christ Jesus. And God, I pray that as a church, that we would be people who would seek you before anything else that we do, that we would have the discipline to still ourselves before you, to reflect on your goodness, to open up your word, and to wait upon you. To know that just like the sun comes up, Lord, that you're going to show up consistently, all the time, Lord, you're there. God, to seek you and to wait for you is your desire for us. And God, I pray that as we wait upon you, that our souls would find rest in you. And when our souls are rested in you, Lord, then we can serve you and do just that, what you have called us to do. And so God, I pray that you would establish that rest within us today. Lord, we ask for healing where it's needed. God, we ask for rest for our souls because of your goodness. Help us to find that rest. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. It's in your name we pray. And all God's people, all over, wherever you find yourself, agreed and said, amen. Listen, have a great week, church. Let us know anything that is going on in your life that we could be praying for. Prayer at crosspointnd.com. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.